In Mark and Luke in the Bible, so you might turn there in advance. Mark and Luke in the New Testament. I met Jesus and I fell asleep. We're in the midst of a series of teachings through the New Testament. We have been since January. We're looking at encounters that various people had with Jesus, and in those encounters, we see all kinds of responses. Some people have a great experience. They experience healing and awakening, and they experience conviction and discipleship. And then others meet with Jesus, and they experience sorrow, and they leave. They walk away because they're unwilling to leave what they are in order to follow the truth. There was a beautiful word that came from, there were a lot of beautiful words this morning. There was one that came from somewhere over here about just being in darkness, and I really feel the power of the Lord on that and on all the words, but would encourage you, if you are in that place, and Jesus is maybe doing this to you this morning, and inviting you to come out, and your life will be better in the light. Life in the dark is, we have to lie, we have to hide, we have to tell secrets and keep secrets, and we hurt people. And when we're in the light and we are forgiven of those things, it's really liberating. And so Jesus met with people, and all kinds of things happened, and we've been talking about those and looking at our lives. And today we're going to talk about sleep. Some of us are asleep today. I don't mean physically, else you are not hearing me, you would not be present. But some of us in the room, and some listening perhaps online, you're physically awake, but you are spiritually asleep. And there's great news for you today. Jesus is not mad at you. In fact, he loves you so much that he would come to you. Now, even now, I sense this in the Spirit. I sense that some of us right now, we're already making our justifications of why it's okay that we're kind of numb and far away from God right now. And I just, I want to just break through that with the kindness of God in our lives and say, you don't have to hide from God, and you don't have to, justify and pretend that it's okay to be stuck where you are. And what it requires is, it's a really hard thing. It's humility. It's us coming before God and saying, Lord, I can't get out of where I'm at, or I'm numb, and I don't want to be numb anymore. And so I want to encourage you, if that's already happening, the Lord invites you to repentance today, and he wants to change your life. He wants to bring you into freedom. He wants to bring a smile to your face again. He wants to bring joy. He wants to bring you back to childlike faith. And so if you're in that place this morning, I would ask you, as the person speaking for the next 30 minutes, give that to God. Let him in. And some of us are spiritually asleep. He's not mad at us. He sees us sleeping, and he actually comes over to us, and he is willing to wake us up, and then he says, I'm still inviting you, even in your slumber, to come and be part of what I'm doing. You've made it this far. So don't beat yourself up. At the same time, it might be time to kind of, jerk yourself awake and say, Lord, help me. So we're going to look at the passage where the disciples slept and look how Jesus responded to them and see how it applies to our lives. Let's pray a blessing on the reading of the word, and we're going to all wake up together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you again. We thank you for all you're doing in this room. And we want to find you today. We want to be woken up like we sang about. Come, Lord. Come into the caverns of our soul and pour on us that we'd overflow. We don't want to live lives that are dead anymore. And for those of us that are asleep, we just hear your call. Wake up. And we ask you for the grace through the power of your Holy Spirit that we would become awake again to love and joy, to praise, to worship, to giving to other people, to caring about the poor, to taking care of ourselves, to mending wrongs and righting and reconciling things that are broken right now. So I pray that your Spirit would move. We welcome you to move among us and stir in each one of us, Lord, that we would be roused from our sleep and we'd wake and we'd run with you. I pray that you'd move and continue moving in this room as we look at your word. We welcome you to do whatever you wish. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's talk about the very important thing of sleep. Did you know there is a sleep foundation? Capital S, capital F, there is. There is a sleep foundation to make sure you and I get enough sleep and are educated about sleep. And I've studied sleep actually for about the last 3 or 4 years. I've actually literally studied sleep because really from around age 25 or 26 to around probably 50, I did not sleep well. I slept about 4 hours a night pretty consistently. It was really hard. And I had a number of reasons that happened to me, and I kind of got serious about it a few years ago. And I've been sleeping really well the last year in particular. So I want to thank especially Becky, who has prayed for me for years for that, and many of you others. And the Sleep Foundation, from some of my study, here's a few facts for you as we think about sleep. On the average, we spend about 2 hours a night dreaming. Did you know adults sleep 54% of the time on their side, 38% of the time on their back, and 7% of us are stomach sleepers? How do you do that? I can fall asleep on my stomach for like 22 minutes, and then I like wake up and realize something's wrong. Guess which state has the worst sleep? You're going to be shocked. Hawaii. Hawaii has the worst sleep. I don't know why. Guess which state has the best sleep? Colorado. And I think it's because there's so much weed there. I went to Colorado a few years ago, my family did, and there was nowhere I went aside from one place, the base we were on, where I didn't smell weed. Even on like the hiking trails, you'd think like they're trying to be healthy and like, well, they're out there being healthy and like smoking weed. But they sleep the best in Colorado, so... Insufficient sleep, I don't know how you measure this, but insufficient sleep has an estimated economic impact of about $411 billion in the United States. I don't know how that is something you could measure, but it is. Drowsy driving is, this is a crazy fact, 6,000 people die every year in the United States because of drowsy driving. That's a lot of people. Wow. Here's one. Snoring. Do you snore? Everyone snore. Some of us are proud of our snoring. 57% of men snore, 40% of women snore, and 27% of kids snore. Babies sleep about 12 to 16 hours a day. Cats sleep 20 hours a day, or 75% or 80% of their life. You toss and turn, you catch some Z's, you count sleep sheep, you sleep like a log. You get 40 winks, you sleep like a baby, you're out like a light. You sleep on it, you sleep tight, maybe you sleep on the job, maybe you're a sleeping beauty. Sleep is something that we think about, and it's very important. But the Bible uses sleep, specifically the idea of spiritual sleep, as a warning. And it says a lot about spiritually being asleep. A few examples. In Ephesians 5, it says, "Wake up, sleeper." Wake up. You sleeping in your faith. Romans 13 says, "The hour has come for you, the church, to wake up from your slumber." 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "Let us not sleep as others do, but remain awake and sober." And then Jesus in Luke 12 says, "Be dressed and ready, keep your lamp on, you don't know when the end is coming." So while we love our physical sleep, the Bible and Jesus himself gives us a lot of warning about being spiritually asleep. What do you think some symptoms of a sleeping Christian might be? Anybody? Just raise your hand so we don't have chaos. Abby. They're apathetic. What are they apathetic about?
Maybe confessing sin.
Yeah.
Really actually following Jesus and taking it seriously.
Okay, I love that. Apathetic about this confession of sin. What are some other symptoms of being spiritually asleep? Anybody? Heather? You're blind to the injustices around you and the needs of other people. Excellent. Did you have one, Christy?
Not hungry for more of what the Lord has.
Yeah, not hungry for more of what the Lord has. Tina? Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great one. Spiritualist, so what she said, if you didn't hear, was just always thinking about yourself rather than going to God and getting his help. Elise? So good. Distracting themselves with the things of the world keeps us asleep. Any others? Wendy? Yeah, arrogant. You don't even know you're asleep. Like, right? Like the arrogance of like, there's nothing wrong. I'm fine. Was there one other? Lee?
Greedy.
Yeah. Given to greed, money. Kayla? Yeah, that's a great one. You know, despair. Despair, you can be asleep and you know, it's like the glory of God and the work of God is available to us if we're willing to look for it. But if we give in to despair all the time, we just shut our eyes from that. Yes. If you don't produce fruit, yeah, Jesus said it himself. If you're not producing fruit, you may not be a Christian. Was there one more? Insincerity. You know, maybe just like going through the motions with your Christian experience. Juan's got one more for us.
Lack of compassion.
Yeah, lack of compassion. And one more.
Lack of discernment.
That's a great one. We're asleep and we just don't even realize what's happening around us and how we should think about it because we are people of truth. So there's hope if you are hearing this and you're thinking, I kind of feel like I might be a little asleep, like maybe one of those things convicted you. And I just want to say there's an invitation and there's a lot of hope for us. In fact, if you're asleep, we have a record of Jesus coming to three very sincere disciples that made it a long time, years, and then fell asleep. And rather than bash them, he bashed them a little bit. He's like, can't you guys like stay awake? I'm dying over here. But after that, he kept repeatedly in grace coming to them and saying, there's more for you, there's more for you. Wake up, wake up, wake up. I have things for you. Let's look at our two passages. These are parallel passages, but there's a little bit of differences in each, so I want to just go ahead and read both, and then I'm going to share a few thoughtful things I think that will apply to us. The first is Mark chapter 14, and we're going to read 29 through 42 of Mark 14. The context of this is just after the Lord's Supper, where they had the Passover meal and took communion, and this is right before Jesus is arrested and taken to crucifixion. So this is in the garden where Jesus is praying, and Mark 14, verse 29 through 42 first. Peter said to Jesus, even though all fall away, I will not. And Jesus said to him, today I say to you, this very night before the cock crows twice, three times, you'll deny me. Peter kept insistently saying, even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. And all the other disciples were saying the same thing too. Verse 32, and they came to a place named Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, sit here until I've prayed. He took with him Peter, James, and John. He began to be very distressed and troubled. He said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch. And he went a little beyond them and fell to the ground and began to pray that if it were possible, the hour might pass him by. And he was saying, Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me, yet not what you will, but not what I will, but what you will. And he came and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Couldn't you watch for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And he came again and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy. They didn't know how to answer. And then he came a third time, and he said to them, are you still sleeping and taking your rest? It is enough, the hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand. Now, I'm going to flip over to Luke 22. Some of this is redundant, but as I said, I really feel like for us to get more of a clear picture of the story and relate it to our lives, I want to read both sections. So, we're in Luke now, one book to the right, and this is Luke's account of the same situation, starting with Peter's response to Jesus. He says, "Lord, with you I am ready to go both to prison and to death." And then skipping down to verse 38, they said to Jesus, "Look, we have two swords." He said to them, "It's enough." And he came out and proceeded, as it was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you're willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from his prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Rise and pray that you may not enter into temptation." So two accounts there, and they say a lot of the same things, and we have a few differences and details that we get from one versus the other. Now, before we jump into this, isn't this a thing to... You know, I just read to you examples from three of Paul's books, Ephesians, Romans, and 1 Thessalonians, where he was telling the church, "Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up." And I think about this, it's very probable. In fact, and we know because at one point Peter references some of Paul's writings and calls it scripture in the New Testament, that Peter, James, and John read Paul's letters years later. And do you think ever when they read things like, "Wake up, O sleeper," do you think they ever thought back to that time in the garden when they were sleeping? If they ever maybe remembered these moments? I think that's interesting to think about how their experience fits into some of the other parts of the New Testament. But from this passage, a few things I think we can relate to. And the first is that Jesus is going to let you sleep. He's going to let you sleep. It's disturbing how fickle we are. I used that word actually the other day and someone didn't know what it is. So new word, fickle means given to change, unreliable, you go where the wind blows. It's like pickle but with an F, fickle. And it is shocking to me how fickle, how much we waver. And I'm talking about these disciples and I'm talking about me. And maybe you. And, if you look just back at some of the things we read, I'm just going to point out a few of the statements they made right before they fell asleep. Have you ever been, like, really red hot for Jesus? And you're like, I'll give you everything. And did you know that 1 minute later, you are capable of denying him? If Peter did it, I can do it. And you probably can too. And so we kind of, there's this Bill Maloney song where he says, "I used to make my pronouncements, but now it's harder to speak and dig up a word that is good for the soul, because in these minds there's a lot of fool's gold." And what he's talking about is how quickly we just pronounce, our great faith and our love for God. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but we want some grounding under it. And we want to be very careful, because actions speak louder than words. And so be a talking Christian, but be a walking Christian too. And be careful, before we flippantly throw things out about how we're going to do this or that. I've learned that the older I've gotten. Here's some of the things they said literally minutes before they fell asleep. In 1429, they said, "I won't fall away from you." In 1431, they said, "I'll never deny you." A few minutes later, and Jesus says these things to him, and you wonder how much it impacted them, and this just shows us how self-obsessed we are, because after just telling them in verse chapter 14, verse 34, "I am so sad, I feel like I'm going to die." Can you imagine if one of your best friends said that to you? "I am so sad, I feel like I'm going to die," verse 14:34. You know what their response was a few minutes later? He fell to the ground. Luke tells us it was a stone's throw away. So they saw him. They very likely, it was just a stone's throw away. They very likely were like, okay, he's going to go over there and pray. He's a stone's throw away. You can see him. And they very likely were like, and they saw him fall down on the ground in his prayer of physical exhaustion. And their response was, oh, well, time to take a nap. They had no answer for their behavior in verse 40. They were confused and overwhelmed. Interestingly, we looked at Luke's passage in chapter 22, and just before, I'm setting the stage for why Jesus lets you sleep sometimes. Just before Jesus went and prayed and before they fell asleep, they were arguing about who is the greatest. Again, this is just to illustrate to you contextually how fickle we are, how quickly we will just abandon all our faith. Here we are, we're talking about how great we are. He's over there sweating blood, and it's time to take a nap, just a few verses before. Peter proclaimed that he was ready to go both to prison and death. A few moments later, he's snoring. I share that just to share that, you know, we have to recognize Jesus absorbs so much pain, and yet he keeps giving us so much grace. And I think he let them sleep. And, you know, there's times in life, maybe you're asleep right now. And the reality is he's not going to take you where you don't want to go. Like if you're asleep right now in your sexual purity, he's going to let you just stay there sleeping. Now, it doesn't mean he's not going to, but he sees you. And I think he has tremendous compassion and he sees where we're at. And he's like, okay, what am I, I've got a plan for Bob or Sally or Jeff or Julie or whoever. And my plan is that I'm gonna wake them, but I see where they're at. And if you're choosing to sleep, he's going to knock, but there may be some consequences. I showed this picture last week, and I want to show it to you again, a couple weeks ago. This is the Scooby-Doo at the end of every mystery. Now to find out who stole the crown jewels? And they, you know, at the end of Scooby-Doo, has anyone ever watched any of these, the old ones? They're so good. And they always unmask, and then you find out it was the old guy that was, you know, running the general store. Now to find out who's been sabotaging my walk with Christ. And I love how Fred just kind of he unmasks, and he looks away. Like, oh, oh, snap, it's me. Like, I did this. It's me. And I share that again for if you're asleep right now, I would just tell you that, like, God's not going to force himself on you. He's going to try to keep knocking, but he lets us sleep because he's not begging you to follow him. And it's very important to understand that. We need a right understanding of God. He's not begging for followers. He is the great, almighty, holy God. And we don't have to follow him. We get to follow him. And what a pleasure and joy it is. But he's not like begging the church, would you guys just wake up? There's times he just lets you sleep. And he's just waiting to see how hungry you are. It's like Tozer says that I quote often, God waits to be wanted. So Jesus will let you sleep. Thank you. We can lose the slide now. He will let you sleep. But he also will not leave you sleeping. Isn't that great? He'll let you sleep. He'll see where you're at. He'll see my half-hearted, compromised, apathetic, you know, Christian faith. And he'll see me there sleeping, but he won't leave me there. And isn't that great? That, like, you don't have to set the alarm for your faith. He is pursuing you. He's pursuing you. In your sleeping, he's pursuing you and wanting to wake you up. And I just think it's beautiful that, you know, these threes over and over in the Bible. Three times he keeps coming. You know, and there's reasons we sleep. And we read in Luke 22, it says they were sleeping from sorrow. Have you ever slept from sorrow? I have. Gosh, you don't have any other options, so you just sleep. And, you know, if you're in that place, I would tell you that the Lord sees you. He'll wake you up once, he'll wake you up twice, he'll wake you up three times. He will keep coming after you. He won't leave you sleeping. He sends graces our way. We, the other day, 2 days ago, I have a picture of a little tiny deer. We get a lot of deer in our yard. Look at how cute that deer is. That deer was about that tall. And I didn't think that was possible. I think they, like, came out bigger than that. But that, because that's a 3-foot fence. So that, like, the top of his head is like 14 inches. It is a tiny little thing. And he got through, leave all these slats, that's a fence I built, and one slat I measured wrong, and it's like this big. All the rest, there's like that much space. You can't get through. But this one slat, and guess what? He found it. And my wife was telling me that the behavior of mother deer is they go and they leave their babies in what they think is a safe place, and then they like go out and spend the day doing deer stuff. So this mother deer must have left this little fawn somewhere safe, and she went out and started doing all her deer stuff, and the little baby decided, I'm going to be a bad boy, and I'm going to wander away from where mom left me. And he wandered into our yard, and he couldn't get out, and he was running around, and it was so sweet. My wife tells the story better, but my wife is like has like the saint, who's the saint of the animals? Why am I? Patrick, Francis, yeah. She has like the Saint Francis in it, because she was out gardening, and she saw him, and he's like skipping around, and she like went up, and she's like, come here. And he like came to her and started nuzzling his like nose on her leg, and yeah, I was like, who does that happen to? Wow! Like I thought they were terrified of us, and she let him out, and he got out, and he wandered off. And I thought of that story, and we can lose the picture now, just to say that like you know, we hope this little baby found his mom. But like in that same vein of compassion, God is always sending. You know, we're always losing ourselves. We're always falling asleep on the job. And he's always sending things our way to come and get us out of that cage that we've trapped ourselves in. Providentially, in whatever means it might be. For you, maybe that is this morning. And I would say to you, like, if you think maybe God is, like, knocking on your heart this morning, don't ignore it. And here's another thought about these disciples. I wonder sometimes, like, how long could they have slept? Like, what if Jesus had not woken them? Well, they've just slept through the whole thing, like the whole torture and the cross, and they wake up the next morning, what happened to Jesus? Oh, he's crucified, you know? Like, what would have happened if they had slept through the entire thing? But God is initiating, and we receive. And so, he won't leave you sleeping. Next point is that our moments of sleep don't define us. Our moments of sleep do not define us. Isn't that great? Like, have you ever been asleep and, like, that's not who you are? It's what you did, or maybe it's the place you're in now, but it's not who you are. In Mark 14:42, I'm going to read it to you again. Jesus wakes them up the third time, and he says this, "Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one that betrays me is at hand." Two very important words in this passage. The first is arise. Arise. It is a call onward, despite the fact that you and I were sleeping. He says, get up. I don't want you to stay here. And then the other word is he says, us. He says, let us be going. I'm not going to leave you. This isn't who you are. And I think sometimes, you know, one person mentioned despair is, you know, like the reason we fall into despair is we get stuck in a moment of sin or sleepiness or apathy or ignoring God, and we think that that defines, like, everything about us. And the Lord doesn't see it that way. You know, it says, I think in Peter, that to the Lord, 1,000 years is like a day. So God doesn't see your life, like Jesus didn't see Peter as a guy sleeping. He saw Peter like the whole arc of Peter's life. And Peter was amazing. Like he messed up a lot, but he kept coming back. And so when Jesus looked at Peter sitting there, he didn't think, there's Peter, you know, he's no good. There's Jeff, you know, there's, you know, whoever. Like, there you are again in your sin. He just doesn't look at us that way. He looks at us, and he looks at the long arc of our life. He sees all of our faithfulness and all of our striving. And yes, maybe we fell asleep, and maybe we're struggling in that moment. But he believes that there's more in you than what's just that moment. And that it doesn't define us. And what we do is we tend to look at that one moment and say, well, this is all I am and all I'll ever be. And I would just like tell you today, like that moment, those moments of sleep, they don't define us. You're more than your current failure that maybe you're stuck in. And, you know, that applies to like, sobriety is a big one. Like, and I have like a lot of experience understanding Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous and growing up in a family where you never knew what you were going to get. And, you know, some of you guys, too, and some of you guys are addicts, and you understand all these things. And, you know, when you're in that world, it's very easy to just feel like this is all I'll ever be, dependent on this thing. Another example of that is parenting. If you, like, are in a really rough place in parenting and you just feel like this is all I am, like I'm a failure and I ruin my kids and, you know, it's never going to be good. But God sees the long arc. Same with marriage. If you're married and you're in a hard place right now, like I tell couples this when I do marriage counseling, like counseling. You know, I was recently with a couple that was really struggling, really big time. And, you know, they wanted to, like, hash everything out. And I said, well, we're not doing that. Let's start this way. I want to know why you married her. I want you to tell me who she was all those years ago. And then it was the wife's turn. Well, why'd you marry him? And they just, like, started telling stories and, like, yeah, you know, we this and this. And, you know, she's so pretty and, you know, he's this and that. And, like, we just spent 10 minutes just recounting, like, don't forget who that person is. Like, yeah, the moment sucks. But, like, don't forget the long arc of who this person is that you married. And remember that and bring that into the conversation and frame the current conflict and dissonance in the light of, like, you've got something amazing worth fighting for here. And so the moment of sleep, it doesn't define who we are. And, you know, if you think of Peter, James, and John, they were heroes, guys. Yeah, they fell asleep at the wheel, but these guys were heroes. And, you know, my daughter has this little note that she has, and she had it one day a few years ago. We were hanging out in her bedroom, and she had her phone case off, and there was a little Post-it. And I was like, what's that Post-it? She had it, like, hidden between the phone case and the phone. That's where you put... Yes, you do. And that's right. And that's where you hide the most important things, like hide it in between your phone and your phone case. And I was like, what is that? And it said something like, this moment does not define you. This moment does not define your whole life, or something like that. And I just thought, like, that's such great wisdom. And so, like, if you're waking up right now or you're asleep, like, yes, you need to be shocked awake, but that moment does not define you. And the end of the story is that there's more for us ahead. The disciples could have called it quit. Jesus could have fired them and said, you guys are no good. I'm in my worst moment, and look at you. You've left me behind. I'm going to go find new disciples. Did he do that? No. He's like, guys, get up. How long are you going to sleep? We've got stuff to do. And he called them forward. They could have quit, but all 11 stayed faithful. And sometimes we just have to go on what God says about us rather than what we feel about us. You've got to remember the things that God says about you. Yes, they slept, you slept, but Jesus calls us out. And, you know, I would just say this as we close, like, you made it this far. Yes, you fell asleep, but you know what? You made it all these years, and there's more for you ahead. I have met some amazing people at the gym that my wife and daughter and I go to. A couple of years ago, I had to stop running because of some knee injuries and surgeries, and the injuries weren't from running. They were just genetic stuff they found inside my femur, of all places. But the doctor said, don't run anymore. So we went to rehab, and then our rehab gym had this gym attached, and, like, you can pay a little bit of money, and after you go through your PT, who's done PT? Shout out to all the PT out there. It's so good for you if you get injured. Don't skip your PT. And so they had this little gym attached to it. And it's all these people that have, like, had injuries, and then they, like, went through surgeries and PTs, and they joined this gym. It's like, I'm like the youngest person there almost. And so we joined this gym, and we've been going there and trying to stay healthy. And I've met so many beautiful people because pretty much everyone there is post some sort of tragic accident or rehab. And watching these folks and hearing their stories, some of them are in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, and talking to them and learning, okay, so you were here, you went through that, and now you're back here lifting weights. I was watching this one guy Friday. His name's John. He's probably 70, and he's very palsied. And he doesn't walk. He's kind of drags one leg. And when he has a t-shirt on, you just see at the top of his, bottom of his skull, there's just a scar just going down his backbone, you know, as far as under the t-shirt. And I don't know what happened to him. I know it was traumatic. Something happened big. And he was in there with one of those young personal trainers, just like doing those, what are those things you pull? Like those rope things, those bands. And he was just like, I mean, giving it everything he had. And I'm just like, this guy's like he can't use his hands very well, and he can't walk, he can't stand up straight, and he's like in here killing it. And it just, it reminded me of like, just don't quit. Like, no matter what you've been through. And it was so inspiring. You know, the attitude at our gym is, I don't have to go to the gym, I get to go to the gym. Like, I can walk. So I can walk to the gym and exercise. Like, what a privilege. But, you know, it's just so inspiring for me to watch that and realize that, you know, this is something that could have shut someone down, but it didn't. And so our story this morning tells us there's more for you ahead. There's more. If you're sleeping, if you've been asleep, if you are asleep right now, the Lord's calling you out. It's not, your story isn't over. He sees the long arc of your life and faith, and he's cheering you on, guys. He's for you. He's not disdaining you because of your compromise or whatever. He's waking you up and saying, come on, we have work to do. I met Jesus and I fell asleep. Maybe we could retitle it, I met Jesus and I woke up. Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, let's stand up. And let's pray together. Holy Spirit, we welcome you to move in us again. There's a few songs, I think. A few of you guys, if just like maybe two or three people, lead us in a song, and we're going to sing with you. Just anybody, go for it.
Lord, we welcome you to move in our lives.
Holy Spirit, come. Come and fill. We welcome your filling. We welcome your waking of us from sleep. Come, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. There's some that would like prayer this morning for something. You have a burden, you have a need, you need the Lord's help with something, and we want to pray for you. So if that is you, come on down here. We want to pray for you. Just come on up and come on down, and we'll have some people lay hands on you and pray. Come on up. If you're new with us, we always like to end our services most of the time and just offer prayer for any who would like it. Bless your presence this morning, and we invite you to move throughout the day. May we leave here in your presence and power. We welcome you, and we thank you for all you're doing in our lives and in this church. In the name of Jesus, amen. Guys, if you're getting prayer, take your time, and all others, we have a great day. Don't forget, there is no youth group tonight. Enjoy the rest. Bless you.